Don't you love the way our kids think? I mean, that was about as real as it gets, what Charles responded there. And, you know, I think about that, you know, as I was preparing this children's sermon today and knowing what I was going to talk on in that story and the reality that it was true. And I'm sure you've all heard different stories like that where somebody would drop an infant through the flames and the smoke into the arms of someone that they may not have been able to see very well or what have you. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes believing that people are going to be good. Well, the one thing we know is we don't have to trust a people when we know the people we're trusting is God, because God shall never fail us. God is always there. And today I want to talk a little bit about the reality of God and the very existence of God and where that comes to us in reality. You know, how can we prove that God exists? Is there a God in this world, or are we all just here fooling ourselves? And I'm amazed at how much our society has come to the point of wanting to dispel God, that we really don't have an accountability, that you know, well, God exists for some people, but not for others, and what's okay for you is okay, but, you know, I'm not accountable. And the reality is, in that, the world is legitimately telling us God really doesn't exist, but it's okay if you want to believe that he does. Reality is, God exists. How do I know that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And there are several key verses within this portion of Scripture that I'm going to reflect upon, because they are the realities that we need to understand. As we come to this reality, one of the things that we need to understand about God is the truth that the existence of God is rooted in faith and nothing other. The existence of God is rooted in faith and nothing other. The Scriptures from verse 1, chapter 11. Thus saith the Lord. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. As we read these scriptures, there are three pieces here that come painfully clear. We're going to deal with the first one. It's the one I spoke to the children. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith in God is giving up of self-will to the will of God and thereby receiving the blessing of God in this life and the next. By faith we live. We do not live because we see God. You know, I can go to his house and sit at his table and sup with him. But yet, I can do those things. Where do I do them? Right here in God's house. Because he is ever present. We do them in the church. We call this God's house. Now, we're meeting in a school, but yet this is a Christian school, so this must be God's house. Because everything that happens here is about who? Welcome to his living room. It is by faith we believe, and it is by faith that we receive. Do you know that the very beginning of the Bible is a faith statement? Turn to Genesis 1:1. Very beginning of the Bible. Is nothing more and nothing less than a faith statement. It is so amazing to me. It says this: in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God what? In the beginning, God created. Well, what did he create? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you understand what just transpired? The writers of the Bible, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they didn't need to prove anything, did they? They just simply emphatically said, in the beginning, God. Because God's the one who started it. It takes faith to believe the Bible. The Bible is nothing more than a book of faith. Oh, but it's so much more. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, too. But to understand the Bible, to realize its truths, to walk a life that is changed, to be successful unto eternity, we have to begin where the Bible begins. In the beginning, God. We must have faith. There can be no other. Even when Christ walked among us, and history proves he exists, right? We can prove Jesus was here. How can we prove he was here? Well, there's no grave, there's no headstone. How can you prove he was here? Because all of antiquity records the fact that he was, and antiquity records the fact that he died, and antiquity records the fact that he was raised again. What? Yes, it does. Not just the Bible. I am talking extra-biblical sources, creditable. Nobody questions. Rome didn't question it when Josephus wrote it. Why should we? And yet, what does Jesus say about believing in God? Turn to John 8 and 23. Turn to John 8 and 23. We need to remember that the greatest aspect of God's existence is something that this world does not want us to have, does not want us. Faith is something that is personal, it's private, and you can have faith in God if you want to. Do you know what they have if they don't believe God exists? They have faith also, but their faith is believing that he doesn't. You see, it takes just as much faith to believe that he does as that it does that he doesn't. So their faith is hedging on the side that Well, hopefully they're wrong, because I don't want to be accountable. I'm not hedging mine on hopefully that I'm right. I'm hedging mine on the reality that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, that all of creation speaks of God. Creation says he exists. But what about Jesus when he was here? Did Jesus say, oh, don't worry about these things? No. John 8 and 23 is where we're going to begin. We're going through 32. Jesus was speaking here, and he said, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. Period. There where it says, the one I claim to be, that was added. Okay, that's not in the original text. It says that I am. Do you know what that word is? Yahweh. What did he just say? I'm God. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I, Yahweh. You will indeed die in your sins. Just what I have been claiming all along. Jesus replied, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am God. Did you catch it again? Again, there's those little boxes. And it says, the one I said I am, or the one I claim to be. Nah. You will know that Yahweh, that I am, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. What's that mean? The Father and I are one. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise his holy name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it takes faith to know that God exists. God's existence is completely and totally harbored on faith. God does not want you to see his face, to see his being, and say, oh, there he is. He wants us to come into a relationship that says, you must be, therefore I must be with you. He wants us to choose him, not seeing him. Why? Because that's the definition of love that God wants. He can see us. In the midst of the fire of life, he's calling out to us, jump. I can see you. That's all that matters. Do you get it? Do you get it? Oh, I hope so. Because he wants to get you. He wants to get your heart. For it is by faith that we believe, not by seeing. The second thing I want you to realize is the existence of God is innate in every human being. Do you know that? What does the word innate mean? Well, I had to look it up in Webster's dictionary just to make sure that I understood it completely myself. I have an idea. Innate means by nature, from birth. Okay? By nature, from birth. And I believe it actually goes on a little bit further if we think about it. God has created us in such a way that our very, very being knows He exists simply because we exist. Okay? It goes beyond this thing of reason to this thing of being. We are, therefore something had to bring us into being. And something more than our parents, amen? Because something brought our parents and their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. And this thing perpetuates. Something had to start all this. How do we know that? Well, that's the portion that draws from within us. Inwardly, we know. We know why. Because we are. What's God's name? Yahweh, I am. Why do you think God took that name? Because every human being wants to know who God is. And all God says is, I am. He's reaching right into the question, isn't he? God, do you exist? I am. Think about that. There's a reason His name is what His name is. And that name reaches into the depths of our souls. Because when we're searching out there looking for Him, all we hear is, I am. I am. I am what, Lord? I am that I am. And it answers the question, doesn't it? Do we have to look any further? No. Because we have that assurance. We know that He is. And innately, within ourselves, it answers all the questions. It gives us the hope. It gives us the satisfaction of knowing. I want you to think about all these different religions that are out there, okay? You know, the Hindu religion. Do you know how many gods the Hindu religion has? Do you remember what was the gentleman's name that we all met from India? I cannot remember his name. He was from, beg pardon? Brito. Yes, Pastor Brito. Thank you. Pastor Brito told us how many gods they have in Hinduism. And what, do you remember what he said? 3 million. 3 million gods. Which one do you pray for? Which one do you pray to? Well, I guess I better pray for all of them. Or to all of them, right? No. No. If there were so many gods, don't you think they'd be at battle with each other, trying to gain more power, more power, more power, more power? That's the demons in our world. And that does happen, all right? Do you ever wonder why these countries are in so much turmoil and they never seem to rise above themselves? It's because they don't believe in the one true God. There's a reason that the United States came to the amount of power that it came to. And there's a reason that the United States is beginning to be diminished in its power and diminished in its economy and diminished in its personal pride and diminished in all things that we were number one in, because we have denied God. The innate reality of us all has been turned inside out and a lie has taken its place. And yet inwardly we all know that God exists. We all know who He is. We are born knowing someone or something made all of this because we're part of this creation that belongs to God. And this creation groans out to that Father from the very beginning. I can remember being a little kid, and how many of you can remember doing this kind of stuff? When you would be out on a lazy summer day, laying in the field, looking up at the clouds, and wondering, who am I? How did I get here? How did this all start? We're going to talk about how some of the world wants that answered, aren't we? But the reality within you, you knew at those moments that there was something special about you, that there was a reason you were here, there was a purpose. You didn't know what it was, but you knew there had to be something, right? There's got to be a reason why I'm here. If there's no reason why we're here, why do we try so hard to succeed? Because it is innate within us to succeed. It is innate within us to move forward and to draw people to the goodness of life. Why do you think we're so appalled when we turn on the TV and we see all the horrible stuff that's coming at us? If we were not part of this creation, if we were not part of God's love, those things wouldn't surprise us and we wouldn't care. We'd be calloused, hard, and part of it. But we know there's something else going on, don't we? We know there's something else going on. Do you know every people group in existence believes that there is some kind of God? There is not one atheist culture ever in history. Think about that. Not one atheist culture in history. What's that tell you? Since the beginning of time, man has known there is a God. They may have gotten lost along the way, because remember, and this is something one of my students asked me here just a couple of days ago, where did we all come from? You know, how did we all get, you know, if there were only four people, how did all these people get here, you know? And I told him, I said, well, those four people, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, brought all of us into existence. I said, did you ever wonder why there's so many different religions? Because as they spread out, they changed the story. They lost parts of the story. But you know, in almost every religion known on the face of the earth, there's a flood story. Did you know that? Almost every religion, there's a flood story. There's a creation story. Okay? It's really kind of amazing when we begin to look at the similarities, because we all came from one place. But as men grew more and more sinful, and as we moved further and further out, it's kind of like playing telephone. If the story's not told right time after time after time, what happens to it over time? Especially when there's no written language. Why do you think God has it written down now? We disavow so much that if it weren't written down, what would we believe? It is written down, and we don't want to believe it. But innately we know, why are we good? Why do we do good things? Why do we reach out to our fellow man? Because God is good, and that's innately. We are created to be like God. I didn't say God. We are not created to be God. We are created to be like Him, His image. And the final point that I want to talk about, and this is the one that I think every one of us can understand. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 104. In fact, Miss Sally chose several songs today that reflected this. In Psalm 104, it talks about the reality that God's existence can be seen in His creation. And I don't think there's any better way, in my life anyway, there's no better way for me to know God exists other than these three pieces. That is, by faith I believe, because my heart tells me there is a God, and my world tells me there is a God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Psalm 104. And we're going to read that whole psalm. I'm going to start. You just follow along, okay? Don't read it with me. I can get through it a whole lot quicker if I read it by myself. So let's charge through. This is a wonderful word, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I want us to wrap our hearts and minds around this word. Praise the Lord, O my soul. My Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers flames of fire, his servant. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nest. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea. Vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There are ships to and fro, and the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you sent your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. When I look at this and I think about creation and I think about the world that God has put forth, and all of creation sings praises unto God. Everything that is points to a creator. Everything that exists shows us that someone made this. And it wasn't aliens. And it wasn't Al Gore. And it certainly wasn't you or I. Darwin came up with the theory of evolution. Do you know Charles Darwin recanted his theory before he died? Charles Darwin understood evolution on a micro level because he looked at survival of the fittest within an area, a small area, and he said that these animals had to adapt to live where they were or die. That's truth. That's called speciation, and we know it. We see it. It happens often. But that's on a small scale. The reality is the very birds that he was looking at when he came up with this theory were on every island that he ever went to. They had just adapted differently. So where did they all come from? How did they all start? They all started the same way, but over time and the food that was there and the climate, they adapted. But how did it start? You see, we don't see the beginning, we see where we are. And Darwin made a guess. And he said, well, because of the simple cell, We evolved from that one simple cell, and it became this. It was all big theory. But you know what happened? And this is what I love. Science grew because God said, I hate ignorance, because God is light and ignorance is darkness. So God allowed us to learn. And guess what we found inside that simple cell? You know, a cell is just a wall, and then there's some protoplasm in there and a nucleus. You know, real simple. Just simple. Nothing much to it. Well, then they found out that there's this thing inside of a cell called DNA. And that's just one of the many hundreds of things that are inside of a simple cell. Do you know how much information is stored on DNA? I watched a program once on DNA and it amazed me, because this gentleman said, we have finally mapped DNA. We know it from beginning to end. I said, wonderful. How much information is that? He said, it took several supercomputers to do it. And I'm thinking, okay, what's a supercomputer? I got one of them in my office. And it's like, no, that's not a supercomputer. Then he walked into this room. He said, the amount of information that is contained in your DNA could be stored in all of these books, and it wouldn't be enough room. And he was looking at a room that was as big as a high school library. Thousands of books. And your DNA, which is one little molecule inside of a cell, carries that much information. And one of the most amazing things about DNA, it can fix itself. It can replicate itself. And it's a simple cell. Not much going on there. There's more intelligence in one cell than in the mind of the scientist who made that comment. All of the earth points to a creator. Everything says there must be a maker. And scientist says, nah, come on, it all happened with the Big Bang. You know what? I agree with that. It did. God spoke and bang, it happened. The worlds went flying forth to their places. I want you to think about this, okay? My grandfather, and I love my grandpa, I thought he was a great guy, worked at a quarry, okay? Before that, he was in the Navy. And he was a munitions specialist, okay? Now, I could ask the gentleman here, and he'd probably be able to tell you all just what that is, all right? Because he's been in the military himself. A munitions specialist. He would blow things up, okay? Loved to do that. When he got into the quarry, he became the dynamite rigger for the quarry. The guys would go in and they'd drill the holes where he told them to drill the holes, and then he would set the dynamite in there, and they'd pack it in, put the fuses into it, you know, the blasting caps, and they'd all get back, and boom! It was so amazing. I watched my grandpa take a stump out of the ground one time. And when he did, the most amazing thing happened. That ground flew out of there, and it became a car. You look at me like I'm nuts. You mean you've never seen something get blown up and become something else? No, but that's what science wants us to believe. Science wants us to believe that God blew, or this stuff, you know, this little tiny atom which held all the mass and matter of the entire universe compressed to the point that it blew up and it created stars. And it created planets that hang in orbits that we, man, cannot create. Because every satellite we have ever put in orbit, guess what happens to it? It comes back down. Why, if scientifically we know how this stuff works, why can't we hang something up there that it stays? We've got to put these little motors on it to keep it in that orbit. constantly steering that sucker? Who's steering this earth? Who's steering the moon? Well, I'm telling you what, I'm worried about Jupiter coming down on us. No, I'm not. Because God hung the foundations and they are sure. All of creation points to a design. We look at a chair and we say, chair. How do we know it's a chair? Because we know somebody made that thing, right? We know how it was made. Ejection molded plastic, bent, welded, riveted. You know, we can see all that stuff. It didn't just happen. Okay? I love how scientists try to tell us that, you know, we all have a common ancestor because our DNA is so close and there's these different pieces and you know, that calls for a common ancestor. No, it calls for a common creator who came up with a good system and just changed the blueprint a little bit. It takes more faith to believe the lie than to believe the truth. Hence the scripture that we started with, that when we believe the truth will what? Set us free. But that if we come unto God, we must come by what? Faith. Because we must believe that He exists. And faith is knowing everything because we can see it, right? No. Faith is believing what we do not see. Faith is believing what we do not see. Got a story for you, if I can find my paperwork. Where did I put my children's sermon? There it is. I like this, and I thought I'd share it with you today. And again, this is another true story. These are true stories, and I love them. This happened in 1934. A gentleman was in Nevada in the Armagosa Desert, and he found an old well. He was about dead with thirst, and he just happened to stumble along this well, and there was a pump there. And on the pump was an old baking powder can wired to the pump handle. So he went over and he tried to work it and it didn't work. So he pulls the can off and he heard something. So he opened it up and here's a letter inside. Here's what the letter said. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 in and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. Wells never run dry. Have faith. And when you get water up, fill the water bottle back up for the next guy. Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. I don't need to explain that, do I? Folks, God tells us, in the beginning was God. Do you believe it? I do. My very being tells me He exists. Because He created me. He created you. And my being cries out to Him. And I know yours does too. Are you going to listen to it? Are you going to look at this world and see the intricacy in all of these things and know that there is no way that any of us could even see had it had to come to evolution. Because how does one grow eyes when there never were eyes? We'd all be dead. The entire being had to come in at one time in order for all this to happen. Our entire existence depends on the exact reality that God Himself exists. He has to, or nothing else can. There's a saying from Augustine, and I love this, and I leave it to you. He says, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is one day to see what we have believed. Think about that. If you've believed in nothing, what are you going to get in the end? Exactly what you've believed. Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Dear brothers and sisters, in this world, and it is going to happen, it's going to come to this place, that the world will, can, and does take away everything physical, but it cannot take away our faith. For faith is something we believe, and it can never be stripped from us lest we give it up. Because faith, dear friends, is the greatest gift from God to bring us to the place of eternal existence. Because you see, God exists in eternity. And if we're going to believe in eternity, then we have to believe by faith that God is there. And believe on the evidences in which we still cannot see the Creator, but we can see His mighty work. I know somebody built that chair. How do I know that? Because there's a chair sitting there. I think it's that easy. I don't know who that person was. Does that matter? No. I know who God is. Do I know what He looks like? No. Does that matter? No. Will I see Him one day? Oh, yes, I will. And in that day, He'll reveal Himself. Because God says, choose me. The greatest choice in the world is knowing that God exists. I can't force it upon you. I can't bring you to it. But God exists. I pray today that as you understand that it is by faith, innately understanding who we are, and the creation He gave us, that God is here waiting and wanting for each of us. There's nothing in our lives that He can't handle. But there's everything in our lives that He wants to handle. Pour a little water in and pump like crazy. Let us pray. Gracious Father, one of the greatest realities is that the Hebrew brothers and sisters did not have to prove You existed. They knew You existed because they knew You, and so too do we. And Father, one of the greatest aspects of that may we take into this world to live by faith and to bring that faith reality to others. For Lord, in it we find You and we know You. For we experience Your love, Your power, and Your presence every day. Oh, gracious Lord, we ask that You would lift us up, that we may be a witness unto You, that You truly are the God of wonder, the God of all, the God of our salvation. Amen.